fighting for America.
There's been 23 months since then when all you've been doing is flapping your mouth and not doing anything. So listen, you want to have the conversation later, I'm happy to have it, buddy. But until that time, sit down and shut up.
Fighting for Idaho.
You got to make sure Allison's got the ball at the end of the game by getting every single solitary soul you know to go and vote and have a victory. Thank you. God bless you.
Fighting for you.
If you got it, Paul, or you thought you had it.
I would start playing that song by Queen. Goodbye, everybody.
Boise's Mr. Right.
I've got to go.
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Governor Otter with us here. And I think you're more fired up than your humble host here after that big night last night.
That was a great night.
It was.
I think it was a great way to wrap up what has been a very energetic campaign all across the board.
Right.
Primary and general both.
Now, I was looking forward to this because I wanted to ask you something that hopefully you haven't heard anywhere else. And it's not one of these gotcha questions. It is... regardless of what happens, this is it for you. This is your last campaign.
This is it. I'm done.
And your thoughts, and I already know this because you're already in the mode. Yeah. Do you ever think back on your years of service in the state and your endless campaigns?
Kevin, I really don't. My life is, I've been richly blessed in my life with some great jobs. And the 30 years I spent with Simplot was a tremendous opportunity, experience, and learning. Gosh, running around the world, the globe, to 82 different countries and setting up shop for the Simplot company to work its magic like it does in most of these markets. And then being able to, a part-time lieutenant governor, the lieutenant governor's job is part-time, and that's why you're allowed a full-time job otherwise. So my first real full-time job was when I was elected to the 106th Congress in 2000, the millennium class. And that wasn't one of my most enjoyable experiences, the 6 years that I spent in Congress. I was ready to come home. I win, lose, or draw, I was ready to come home, and I'd made that known right after the 05 election. And so got the chance to come home, become governor.
Right.
And I've, once again, richly blessed, a great job.
You know, we've all changed. Age does a magical thing to us, Governor. And, you know, you go back to your thoughts about getting into politics, that a little younger Butch Otter than right. what you have today, would you change anything as far as your belief in the system, your belief in the people, you working on things that you don't have to do?
No, Kevin, when I look back, what got me into politics really was I wanted to see limited government, personal responsibility, strengthen the family. Because the family, the strength in the home is really the foundation of a good, strong, free government. And so when I first went into the legislature, and I was only there 2 terms, that's really what myself and many of my colleagues focused on is how do we keep people free? How do we keep the government out of people's lives, trying to make decisions for them that really atrophy their ability to make decisions for themselves? And I was disappointed after 4 years. I thought, maybe I'm not part of the solution. Maybe I'm part of the problem because the government kept, state government kept growing. So I got clear out of politics for 10 years. And then as the lieutenant governor's job opened up, and I had a lot of worldly experience in terms of markets around the world, I felt that other than just selling French fries and beefsteaks, I could probably sell about everything Idaho has.
Governor, we could go on and on about that here, but I've got a couple questions. Then you never back down. We'll take phone calls at 580-5436. But I remember in Tampa, we had a gay rights activist come up to you and attack you for defending the family. And you don't talk about these things. And, you know, people have, you know, trying to make a big deal out of you defending traditional marriage, you defending the rights of the people. Can you take this opportunity now? A, to tell us why, and B, again, I just want to thank you because there are so many people that if they disagree with you, they attack you personally, and I'm thinking you can disagree with people on issues, but especially this one is such a tinderbox.
Yeah, and that's one of the most surprising things. Usually, those people are frustrated. and they're not absolutely sure of their position. But all we need to do is take a look at the Idaho Constitution.
Right.
And the Idaho Constitution, and the recently adopted, in fact, 2006, amendment to our Constitution, defined our values. And they defined our values for us. And those that want to define marriage in Idaho in a different way, you know, as long as they don't infringe upon Article 3, Section 28 of the Constitution, they can do it any way they want. And know that civilly they can. But it just seems like it's not enough of in your face. And when I heard about the Hitchin Post up in northern Idaho, you know, that was one of the fears that we had when we were considering the religious freedom. And we do have religious freedom in Idaho. So how do we grant this broad spectrum of definition on marriage to beyond what Article 3, Section 28 of the Constitution says, and not infringe upon personals' faith and infringe upon their belief? We struggle with that all the time, and I'm confident that we'll struggle with that in legislative sessions to come.
Right, and you brought that up where you have, what was it, 4 or 6 individuals overturn the will of the people in the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, that seems to get lost in the politically correct pandering, but, I mean, 4 people overturn the will of the people.
You know, when you take a look at all of the debates that we've had and all the panelists in those debates that
we've had. Did you miss Harley last night, by the way?
Pardon me?
Did you miss Harley last night?
You know, we talked a little bit about Harley before it began. I'm not going to say that anybody expressed a fondness for his being there, but Harley's an engaging guy. You don't have to worry about where he's coming from.
Right.
You know exactly where he's coming from. But what I was going to say is that if all the debates that we've gone through and the panelists that we've gone through, the editorial boards that I have gone before and been interviewed, all of that, if there was an attack on freedom of the press, they would be cheering me.
Right.
Those same people that are now questioning whether $90,000 is too much money to defend our Constitution. Well, these are the folks that they know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And there is great value in that. And I don't know that I can put a price on it. In fact, my opponent, if he had to pay sales tax on just the money that he's put into his own campaign, I'd still have another $100,000 to spend on defending that.
Right.
On the sales tax alone. But yet, so that's more valuable than our Constitution? Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that a person in Idaho wants to be a public servant in the state of Idaho and feels that the difference between cost and value.
You know, we could talk about education, but I think that's been like 90% of your debate stuff has been education, but your opponents and a lot of folks have attacked you for cutting education. Dave Burnett and I were going back and forth and saying, you know, really, where have you cut education? I don't think you've cut it. I think you've held the line during the recession on.
Kevin, we did cut back on education, K-12. And higher education more, percentage-wise, more. What we didn't do was we really didn't significantly drop the amount of money that's coming out of the general fund percentage-wise toward education. So we still had 48, through all that, we still had 48, 49, 50, 51% of all the general revenue monies that were going for K-12. And that had been the case, way back since time began in Idaho. We've always worked hard and sincerely trying to cover and obey the constitutional mandate of a free, uniform, and thorough common system of public schools. But because of Idaho's rural nature, because of the difference in valuations of property, you know, Blaine County, Sun Valley, one of the richest districts. Why? Well, because they got a lot of very, very expensive homes up there per capita, but no kids to go into the school. So they've got a lot of revenue with very little impact, personnel impact on that. Boise's much bigger in terms of revenues. And then there's some other unique things. And so to if we were going to, as it has been suggested, especially by my 16-year board member opponent, in this race, we need to have a equality amongst them all, then they've got to give up a very special position that the independent school district holds because it predates the Constitution.
Wow.
So if you can't have it both ways, on the one hand, he's saying the Constitution demands equality, and then on the other hand, he says, but geez, I don't want to give up the position that the independent school district and Lewiston and Jim County hold. Now, that's it. That was the constitutional provision for them. But that alone makes them unequal and not uniform.
Right.
And so that's why here we have the Boise Public School District that Blukoff is chairman of, with 11,000 fewer students and a budget millions upon millions more than the Meridian School District sitting right next to him. So 11,000 fewer students than Meridian, but millions of dollars more in expenditures.
Governor Butch Otter with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Governor, 4 years from now, if you're reelected, and gosh knows if Kevin Miller still has a job here, you know how broadcasting is. It's like politics, in the day, out tomorrow. What would you see as we're winding up your third term? What would that look like?
Number one, we would have 60%+ of all of the folks in Idaho between the ages of 25 and 34 that would have some kind of a post-education secondary degree certification or professional license. So in other words, after they finished high school, they went on to the College of Western Idaho, College of Southern Idaho. They went on to a community college and got a welding degree or got a nurse's degree or got something beyond the high school years. And that's a goal that the state board set several years ago, and I'm totally behind it, and that's why the 20 recommendations that came out of the task force was made up of all the stakeholders in education. That's why they've decided here's how we can accomplish that. So what I'm saying is that we would have a well-educated, highly motivated workforce that business and industry in the state of Idaho would say, we're going to stay right here and grow, as Idaho companies are already doing. And new companies would be coming in. We just got Amy's Kitchen down in Pocatello, and Sky West is now putting in a anchor position right here at the Gowan Field. Announcement of a software company yesterday, almost doubling the size of its employment up in Sandpoint, Idaho. So all of those things would tell me that we had anybody that wanted a professional position, there was a position available because the capital had come to Idaho and was seeking for employees. So anybody that wanted to work could go to work.
What would you do after your road, though? What would you do when, in fact, your 4 years were done? I mean, I can't see you slowing down any...
Well, no, I wouldn't intend to. There's Miss Laurie and I've talked quite a little bit about that. In fact, we've talked about that almost every 4 years.
Right.
You know, what happens if? And we've got some ideas. Now the further we get, or the closer we get to finity, the closer we get to the defined end. You know, I suspect that those conversations will be a little bit more robust and probably a little bit more sincere and penetrative as far as what we actually can do.
You take over the
so
Merck?
Pardon me?
You take over the Merck?
The Merck in downtown Star?
Yeah.
The Star Mall?
Yeah, would you take over?
I call it the Star Mall. No, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, we still got the nice ranch there. We're just
right
across the ditch from each other.
Yes.
And, you know, it's pretty easy to see your house from leaning on my shovel.
More coming up with Governor Otter next at 580 KIDO.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm KIDO. Governor Otter with us as we move along. Governor, a chance for you to address your critics head on that have been very vocal during the primary and during the campaign. Anything you'd like to say to people that may doubt your sincerity?
Well, no, not really, Kevin. I think my record speaks for itself. The years that I've spent working for the people of the state of Idaho, working to defend the Constitution, the family, freedom. In all those cases, I think that's always been my top priority, and I know that that's always been my top priority in whatever capacity that I've been in, and it's going to continue to be my future efforts. I would love to see, you know, you asked the question in the earlier part about what do I want to see in 4 years. I want to see a free Idaho. I want to see the rest of the 49 states looking to Idaho and saying, what is this in Idaho? What's going on in Idaho? And if they look at that and they say, you know, it's the strength in the home. It's their belief in faith and family, in freedom and personal responsibility. That could be the greatest legacy ever left to not only the state of Idaho, but any nation as a whole.
We go to the phones. Let me ask you the presidential question. You're not going to run regardless. You're not running for the presidency. You know, your name comes up quite a bit.
No, that's not going to happen.
Remember that your name came up quite a bit in 08 and 12.
Yeah, well, God bless him and thank you. That's a great salute, but
right.
That's not in my future.
Okay. We go to Bill in Caldwell for Governor Otter at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin Miller and Governor Otter.
Good morning, Bill.
You know, I just wanted to call Governor to tell you thank you for a job well done and to encourage you that...
That voice sounds familiar, doesn't it?
All the people I run with think you're a pretty good governor. And, you know, when you look at the economic recovery here in Idaho compared to the rest of the United States, there's only a couple states that have done any better, and they usually are bigger states with more resources. But I know that as you get another term here and get more businesses into Idaho, we'll have more revenue and things will pick up for everybody and life will be a lot better. But your last comment it just rings so true and loud in my ear that we are free, that we're prosperity-based state, that we are a family-oriented state, and you're leading the way on that for the last eight. And I'm going to be happy to vote for you again.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it very much.
God bless you, Bill.
That would have been a great ad.
I know.
Did Ray copy that?
Ray's got it. Ray's
all
on
right.
it. Yes, Ray's on it. Well, between Ray and your friend, our political correspondent Dustin Cook, you know, we've got a lot of political heavyweights here in the building.
Yeah.
Indeed. So as we bear down here at 580KIDO, let's talk a little bit about the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Are you united? You ready to go?
Oh, I believe so. You know, people just love, and when I say people, I should focus a little bit more on some of the media. That whenever they see a little disruption in the Republican Party, you know, they kind of stand around and wringing their hands and saying, whoa, this is the end of the Republican Party in Idaho. But quite frankly, for as long as I have been on the ballot, I would tell you there's always been a difference in the Republican, just some minor differences in the Republican Party. But we're also a Ronald Reagan state.
Right.
And, you know, those people that we disagree with 20% of the time, not our enemy. Because we agree 80% of the time. And most important, we agree on the important stuff. Limited government, the foundation of our republic, the Constitution. Those are the things that we hold near and dear. So all the other disagreements pale in comparison to our championship for the home and our championship for the Constitution and our championship for personal responsibility. So, we're going to have differences. That's where all the excitement is. If you just take a look at the primary ballots,
right,
between the Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, Constitutionalists, you know, you'll see one name in most of those other columns. But on the Republican column, you're going to see lots of names, whether it's for a House seat or the governorship, any other constitutional office. There's always people saying, you know, I differ a little bit with you on this, on the basic things we agree on. And so I'm going to take my shot at, and we invite that in the Republican Party. We invite that civil discourse. And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy not only for the ones that wins the nod from the party to go forward as the candidate and the champion for that office. But I think it's also healthy for the entire political system.
Governor, you know, it's strange here at 580 KIDU. I think I'm much more sentimental about this than you are. But closing thoughts here.
Well, there's a lot of work to do in the next 4 years. And so there, the sentimentality obviously will have its time and its day. But I've always been pretty confident when I'm making the shift. When I left Congress, there were a lot of my friends that came around. I got to know them very well, and we worked together on stuff. They'd come around and they'd say, "Well, we're going to miss you," and I do miss them. But I'm looking for bigger and better things as they come, and maybe a new role to play. And you asked me the question earlier. One of the things that Miss Laurie and I've talked about is Catholic Charities.
Yes,
has a tremendous foreign presence and a real gift to people around the world. And one of the things that we have talked a little bit about is that, maybe we would take a year or two. And I did a lot of work with Catholic Charities in Africa when I was with the Simplot Company. Actually, Kenya, Africa, northeastern Africa. And it was great. It made me feel good. It was good for both sides. So who knows? I just know that as long as I've got the energy, I'm going to be doing something.
Governor, good luck to you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, men.
5:38, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Welcome to Monday with Dave Burnett, who's ready to go, fired up. Monday, Monday, Monday. Love the Monday.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Dave. Anything you'd like to share with us today?
Well, it's one of those two really bad Mondays of the year when they change the clocks. I just hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, suddenly, it's 8:30 in the evening and going, man, I'm really tired and it's only 8:30. Oh, that's right. My body says it's 9:30. And then I wake up an hour early.
Yeah.
I hate the clock change. But nonetheless, it will be lighter earlier this morning.
So I'm happy about this. This is Kevin Miller time until
the time changing.
Oh, yeah. Until, what is it, March or something like that?
Yeah, it's more like a dark, dank cave. Saturday must have been fantastic for you. You must have been running through the neighborhood going, look at the rain.
I actually took my shirt off and did run up and down the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that's why the police were called up.
Yeah, exactly. Fortunately, I got back into the house before anybody could.
So the clocks have changed. Hopefully, I looked at my truck this morning and went, oh, boy. How am I going to change that?
Right.
Because I never remember how it changes. I got to hold down something and press something and turn something.
I'm with you. Do you think we need the time change?
Me personally, no.
We should just leave it the same the whole year.
I mean, they always blame the farmers or something, and I've never understood that. Well, you know, farmers need it. I got news for you. The farmers are working one way or the other.
Sure.
But somebody blames the farmers for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that going on. But no, they do it. Some states choose not to. I don't think Hawaii does. What is it, Arizona? Are they the other one that doesn't?
Arizona. Yes, you're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a whole load of topics to spring on you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But I wanted to give you the opportunity to set the agenda.
No, it is your show. I just do traffic. That's my job. I do the traffic and follow the marching orders. Give me your orders. What do we got?
I believe, well, let me set this up. You like NASCAR, right?
Yes.
You're a NASCAR fan, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have a favorite team?
I know who I don't like. How about that?
Okay.
I'm not a Jimmy Johnson fan.
Okay.
I'm just not. Not a Jimmy Johnson fan. But maybe it's that whole Pittsburgh, Dallas, New England.
Winners.
Yeah, just too many wins. Too many wins. I want to see the other guy. I want to see the underdog.
Well, I think that, and again, I'm not defending Jimmy Johnson. I think that's my brother-in-law's favorite guy. But the thing that I, mean, how bad is it that they have to rig the sport because the guy's so dominant that they have to keep changing the rules every year?
Well, talk to BSU about that.
Well, you threw me off there.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I want to jump on you about BSU, but I won't.
Unlike the Walendas, you were very easy to get knocked off the wire.
Apparently, yes, we can talk about Nick Walenda. But before that, here at 580KIDO, because I have an issue with NASCAR changing the rules to this ridiculous format that they have. I didn't like it when they went to the chase because my boy Gordon would have won several more times under the old system, which rewards consistency. But I believe that this new system is ruining NASCAR. Case in point, yesterday, Jeff Gordon up in the top, Brad Keselowski, who I don't care for. He's a young punk, in my opinion.
Exactly. I'll go with you on that.
Wrecks Jeff Gordon, who had been the model of consistency the entire year, and now he has to win in Phoenix, otherwise he's out. And so what happens? Gordon comes over, Keselowski's doing his own thing, blah, blah, blah. And I got to tell you, I never really cared for Kevin Harvick, but he's moving up the Miller list. And Gordon grabs him, Harvick grabs him, and they turn into a big fight. People go, oh, look at this. Isn't this great? No. Yeah, that's great if it's the WWE, but this is a sport where it's consistency, where it's precision, where it's engineering, and I got to believe that this is just bad news. There's too much pressure on these guys to go from 12 to 8 to 4 to whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a bad omen. I thought that they expanded too much. You know, there are great tracks in the West like Phoenix and Las Vegas, but to get away from its southern roots and two races in New Hampshire every year, I don't know if they sell out. And let's forget about what made the sport. It'd be like the SEC coming out to the Pac-12. Anyway, that's my whole NASCAR thing. I just think that this new format is ruining the sport.
That and Jeff Gordon got a bloody lip out of the fight yesterday. And it was a fight. Unlike, you know, WWE or something, these guys are fighting. They were bloody after it.
Well, and quite frankly, how can that governing body reward Keselowski for wrecking Jeff Gordon, who, again, was the model of consistency the entire time?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you play by the rules.
Well, and to be honest with you, in that sport, and some people say, it's driving cars, it's not a sport. Yeah, well, you know what? I think it is. But the problem is, if you get emotions involved where guys are ready to fist fight, out on the track, that's 200 mile an hour emotions that could wind up really hurting somebody.
Well, yeah, and they wreck everybody, and
yeah, and everybody, yeah, all the people not involved in the argument wind up in the rubble.
So I just had a real issue with that. I also have a real issue with Danny Cannell. And I know a lot of people go, Kevin, this isn't the Sports Center here, blah blah blah. But Danny Cannell came out with his top four yesterday. Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Cannell he's a guy, and Dave, you've been in this business how many years?
7.
Okay, 7 years. So you've seen people come and go. You've seen them rise and fall, correct?
Maybe that was 70, okay.
So Danny Cannell is just doing what people do when they want to get that cheap pop. He's being controversial for controversy's sake. His new top four came out in college football. It was Mississippi State, Florida State, followed by Oregon, followed by TCU. So Auburn doesn't get rewarded for beating the number 3 team in the college football playoff.
Well,
TCU beating a team in West Virginia gets rewarded for Auburn beating Mississippi State, Ole Miss at Ole Miss. Okay, forget my Alabama bias here. Oregon gets a win at home. Great. I like the Ducks. I could have lived with Auburn and Oregon, but to me, he's just doing that to play to our friend Paul Feinbaum and his show today, and so he can be the talk of ESPN. To me, it just seems a reach to have TCU in there and not Auburn. Your thoughts?
Probably. You know what? You know me. I'm not a big SEC fan, but for TCU to be put in there, yeah, you know, that's somebody making a statement.
Considering how Ole Miss lost, the guy's crossing the goal line, he breaks his leg and fumbles the ball before it crosses the plane and Auburn survives.
Mm-hmm.
It was a heck of a game. I don't know what you were doing Saturday night, but that's what I did.
Let's see, Saturday night. I don't remember what I was doing Saturday night. Must have been good.
I've had some of those times, yes.
Yeah, I don't remember Saturday night. I wasn't watching much college football over the weekend. I watched a little bit on Saturday morning. Didn't watch a lot.
I think it's we're in danger of jumping the shark on the college football, although Brad Paisley was on game day.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I didn't watch game day.
I watched the end of it just so I could see Corso, and he starts singing West Virginia, and they're all going, and he goes, "No, I'm a frog." You always know when the curve is coming, the swerve.
Yeah, but no, I think with the big power moves by some of the bigger conferences, I think you're alienating a lot of the country, and I think it's going to hurt them in the long run. You know, I think honestly, and let's take Alabama and BSU out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
For you to take some of the mid majors and not give them a chance, people love seeing David beat Goliath, and for you to take that out of it, it takes an element out of it to take, you know, different conferences out of it.
I love it when they go to like North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And there's an excitement there. But if you're going to go to USC, or if you're going to go to, you know, Auburn, if you're going to Texas, there's really not the excitement for these people because they get it all the time. But if you go to a North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
Or if you go to, you know,
even West Virginia, it had been a while. And having driven around that campus, that's the biggest thing that happened to them in quite some time. And again, we all have our pluses and minuses, but mm-hmm. actually having driven in through historic Morgantown, ooh, yeah. And you could tell they were passionate, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, there's an excitement because, you know, game day is coming there. But, you know, if it's USC or if it's Texas or, you know, if it's Michigan State, it's like, oh, okay, all right, they're kind of a nuisance, they're here again.
Well, it's kind of tough because it's kind of like a candidate that wins and continues to win. You kind of get full of yourself.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. So, yeah, so, you know, it's I don't know. You're correct. I can only say from my perspective, I'm not watching as much college football as I was.
Speaking of watching, what about this governor's race? We had a big poll come out saying that all the Republicans are coming home, that the only Republican in the state that's in trouble, at least constitutionally speaking, is Sherry Ybarra or Ybarra or Ybarra, whatever your preference.
It starts with a Y, but I think it's Ybarra.
Ybarra.
I believe so.
Okay, so will the conservatives come home to bring the governor back? And it's funny, when we had him on, I was more nostalgic than he was.
Well, I find it fascinating. There was a national poll, and we were talking about this before the show today, and I can't remember if it was Fox or if it was who it was that I saw, but there was a national news broadcast that showed 8 governorships that are a toss-up, and it listed Idaho as one of them, and I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure where they got their polling, but I looked at that and went, well, that's interesting.
It is.
So we will see. I don't know. My finger is not on the pulse to know what the people are saying.
Well, we will find out today. John Bujak will join us.
Mm-hmm.
Russ Fulcher will join us. Russ Fulcher, who has endorsed the party platform and the candidates that endorse the party platform.
What does that mean?
He's endorsed the platform. Well, have you endorsed the governor? I've endorsed the platform. And he endorsed the governor a little, but not much.
So, if you're not for me, are you against me?
We shall see how that plays out. By the way, you know that, unlike you, that you're one of from that great, prestigious academic institution, Oregon State,
yes.
The Beavers.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, you know, wonder why I have a lot of my issues. We have, where I graduated college from, it was called Akron University. It still is.
It's in Ohio.
University of Akron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our mascot.
I think this zips.
Yes.
Okay.
I was getting that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think it's one of the most unique ones out there.
Yes. And when I was there, Zippy, it was Fear the Rue. Now they've turned Zippy into a female kangaroo. What the? I almost want to swear. What kind of garbage is this? Well, tomorrow we've got the wonderful Tuesday night game on ESPN that seems to be a must-see TV performance there.
Are they still doing those Tuesday night games
right after the Galaxy versus Salt Lake? How about that?
So was Fear the baby kangaroo before?
It was Fear the Roo. You know, kind of like Roo's, the shoes Walter Payton used to wear.
I thought a Roo was a baby kangaroo.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was.
The ones that are still in the pouch.
Yes, like a lot of them. Still
fear,
in the pouch.
Just fear that.
Fear the pouch. Now... Zippy, by the way, we won the Capital One mascot challenge one year. Then they turned him into a woman. Maybe ahead of time, or a female kangaroo. Look at Zippy. She's dressed up like Batman.
Well, there you go, Akron.
Stupid Facebook.
Hey, I got Benny the Beaver. What do you want? Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County at 8.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, here's a good one. What does Steve Pankey, John Bujak, and Russ Fulcher have in common? What do they have in common? They'll all speak with us this morning as we break down the final days of the campaign. Hard to believe that it's over. We've been talking about this, I think, ad nauseum for 4 years. Plus, does someone have the right to die? We'll debate that big issue and much, much more. As we start your day here at 580 KIDO, let's get you to work safely. Issues, none of them related. By the way, it is 34 in Boise. Did anybody watch the Nick Wallenda Fest last night on the Discovery Channel? Or maybe you're looking at it this morning. Nick Wallenda, the Flying Wallendas, who has defied death, has defied common sense, defied sanity by walking across the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. And he's a normal guy. I've met Wallenda a few times, or Wallenda, and just a normal guy. But I don't even have to ask this this question. Television has gone too far when we're taking a look at risking one's life, and we've seen it before right here in Idaho with Evel Knievel, for TV ratings. I mean, what would have happened, God forbid, if Wallenda would have died? By the way, half of it, he went, he was, what, 500, 600 feet up in windy Chicago with a blindfold on. Who in their right mind does that? Is that really what we've come to? Plus, if the Republicans take the Senate, does that change anything? Or is it amnesty now, amnesty then, amnesty for everyone? A bipartisan betrayal of the American folks and the American worker? Oh! Heavy topic. Stay tuned. I need
Serving Meridian.